The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
And welcome back to The Closers here as we roll on through your Wednesday afternoon. I'm George Young, Jay Sparks alongside, and we continue on. We're joined by Gabe Yarman from PowerMizzou.com. Follow him on Twitter. And if you're not already, you have no idea what's going on with in the world of recruiting. But it is at Gabe Yarman. And, man, it's ramping up 1 week from today. They will drag out a fax machine. Do you still have a fax machine?
I have one. I mean, it's not functional, but I have it's like a printer and fax and, you know, one of those all-in-one things. I haven't used it in ages, but yeah, we have one.
Okay. I don't know if they called you up and said, hey, by the way, old media guy, do you happen to have a spare in case ours breaks?
No.
Do you know with NCAA, are they ever going to change that to allow you to just email your NLI in?
I don't know. Somebody posted on our board. Apparently, they say that because parents have to sign them, like a fax is harder to, I guess, manipulate than a digital thing. I don't know. I honestly thought that most of it was already done digitally. Apparently, I'm wrong on that, but I don't know.
Okay. All right. Gabe Yarman, PowerMizzou.com with us here on The Closers. All right. So 1 week from today, Missouri gets a quarterback commit, a flip from Wake Forest. Greg Taylor coming in and
Taylor Powell, sorry, I'm
moving ahead of myself here too quickly. He comes in, pro-style quarterback. Does this continue, at least with that recruitment, the change of Missouri's offense from that spread style to more what we see on a regular basis of SEC play?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Josh Heupel's offense, I thought, was every bit as spread as anything Missouri had run. I mean, they can run the ball out of it, but you know, they're going to throw the ball all over the field. They certainly did last year as well. You know, any offense requires a good quarterback. Like, you know, I know we hear system quarterback and this guy's better at this and that. To me, dual threat quarterback is simply a way to say this guy's a better runner than he is a passer. You know, pro style quarterback just means he's a better passer. That's kind of his strength. And look, you need that. I think you need to recruit one every year. You let the chips fall where they may, and you understand some of them are probably going to end up transferring.
Gabe Yarman, PowerMizzou.com with us here on The Closers. Again, we mentioned you've got one more week. There are still spots available, and the one thing I know that has been hammered into me and everybody else is the scholarship thing has a way of working things out. But at 22 now, do you see them getting over that 25 hump, or are they just going to go, all right, we've got what we're going to get, and we're not going to reach for something that could be questionable?
Well, they're not going to reach. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not going to take a guy just to get to 27 or 28, but they have enough offers out that if, you know, everybody they want decides to commit, that they'll get to 27 or 28 without a problem. So those two things aren't mutually exclusive. I expect that it will be more than 25. I don't know if it'll go all the way to 28, but like you said, if they hang on to everybody, they're at 22 right now. And, you know, there are easily at least three or four more guys out there I could see them signing next Wednesday.
Gabe, I know I saw filtering through the rumor percolations today was Colin Grunhard at Jafar Armstrong's, Bishop Meade there. Wondering if you thought the Wolfpack was still ahead or if Mizzou was definitely in the running there.
Well, I saw something earlier on Twitter that said Colin Grunhard would be, you know, would have news later today. And he visited NC State last weekend. Now, these schools are looking at him as a gray shirt, not as a full scholarship guy right away. So based on the fact that he visited NC State last weekend and news is supposed to come today, I would certainly assume that he is going to go to North Carolina State as a gray shirt. Dave Doran, the head coach there, used to be at Kansas. I believe he overlapped with Tim Grunhard, the former Chiefs center, who is Colin's dad, who was an assistant under Charlie Weiss at KU. So there's obviously a connection there, and I think he'll end up at NC State.
All right, and also out there, Elijah Gardner getting a visit from The Ohio State University. I know Missouri Tiger fans tend to be on pins and needles when they see all of a sudden a young man getting a visit from another school. How solid are some of those commitments, especially like Elijah's and also Jafar Armstrong?
Yeah, I messaged with Elijah Gardner last night. Missouri had their in-home. Jojon Finley and Andy Hill and Barry Odom were down there in Kent, Texas yesterday. And he said the visit was great as always and said he was not taking a visit to Texas this weekend, as has been previously thought slash reported. So that was good news. Then Urban Meyer was at his school today, and, you know, he tweeted out a picture and whatever. Look, I don't know. I don't know if he'll – I'm sure Ohio State would like to get him to visit this weekend. We'll see if he does. You know, I know that fans certainly want us to – okay, there's this new rumor out, so what's going on with this kid now? If you learn anything in doing what I do, you can't bug these kids every time something happens. If you are sending them a message every time a new coach visits, like, they're going to quit answering. You're never going to get anything out of them. So, you know, we'll wait. We'll see if he takes a visit this weekend. I think Missouri has a pretty good shot, probably a better shot to hang on to him than they have had with a lot of kids that Texas and Ohio State may have come after. You know, they were in on him very early. He really likes the offense and the coaches up here, so I think they've got a good shot. But look, it's Ohio State. Like, I know people hate to hear it, but a couple years ago, Missouri recruited Devin Booker for 2 years, whose dad was a legend here. And John Calipari came in like March and offered him, and he went to Kentucky because it's Kentucky. Ohio State is pretty similar to Kentucky right now, so that is certainly a tough one to fend off. But look, I always say, like, if you want to recruit good players, like, Missouri fans want to complain when they're getting two-star kids who have offers from Utah and, you know, Southeast Texas. Well, then you can't also complain when you're recruiting kids and Ohio State starts to want them. I mean, it's got to be one or the other. You can't just recruit guys that nobody else wants and have them be really good players.
Gabe Yarman, PowerMizzou.com. I mean, you know, listen, you look at that Kentucky roster, there's no Devin Booker on it, so whatever on that one.
Right.
Yeah,
it was a short stay in Lexington.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Right. I was going to kind of sort of transition just a little bit. I know National Letter of Intent Day is the big thing, but talking about Devin Booker, talking about going out and winning some of these football recruiting battles, you know, whether it's Kim Anderson or a new staff, like, is Mizzou going to have problems on the basketball side of things? You know, how are they? Are they going to have to kind of model after this football team for a while as they rebuild this basketball team?
I don't think so. Basketball's different. You know, every school is – I mean, the biggest recruiting class in the country is probably going to be like seven guys. You know, I mean, there's, what, 60 – let's say there's 100 major basketball programs. You know, you're only talking about probably 400 kids. So, no, you can go get talent in basketball. It's a completely different game, really.
Fan base, Gabe, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on basketball. I know they got the game tonight, so we'll just do a drive-by of that here in just a quick second. But the fan base, as you see message boards and all that and everything, is there a divide between that younger group, that 30, 35 and under, and the 40 and older fan base group that you're seeing where the older group is going, patience, this will work out. We've hit rock bottom. There's nowhere to go but up. And the younger group is change now. Do it now.
Not anymore. I mean, okay. George, do you run into anybody that says this should go on?
Just people who aren't really paying much attention.
I mean, I don't mm-hmm. say that to be, you know, cruel or make a joke. Last offseason, you know, some people thought that Missouri might move on. And what I said at the time was, look, I get it. Like, these 2 years have been so bad, I understand why you asked the question, and I might not even argue if Missouri fired him this is like last April and May. But to what I said privately, I thought, you know what, you give him a third year, you give him a year with all his guys, mm-hmm. with everybody, he's only recruited them, because no longer are you allowed to blame Frank Haith for any of this, or Mike Alton, or any, this is his program, 100%, everything this year is about him. So go see what he can do. Well, you've seen it now. And look, I see a lot of people who say, I was in his corner as long as I could be. This isn't working. But I really see I mean, it's like the responses I get, probably 98% this has to end. Mm-hmm. It is very rare that you see anyone that is still really trying to justify a fourth year.
Gabe Yarman, PowerMizzou.com with us here on the Closers. All right, they're down on the road in Starkville tonight. I know major good things will have to happen as a collective in order to come out of that one. We just continue tacking up the 11th in a row loss and then number 27 in the road tonight.
I don't see why not. I mean, Mississippi State's better than the last couple teams that have beaten them.
Mm-hmm.
They're better than Auburn and Ole Miss. Those games were at home. This is their last chance. If they lose tonight, it will officially be a 3-year road losing streak. If they win tonight, I think they can cut it off at like 2 years and 362 days or something like that. But yeah, I don't have any expectation. You know, I was actually just thinking, George, I was driving on my way home and I thought, oh yeah, there's a game here in about 3 hours. I mean, that's where we're at. Like, you forget they're playing. It's our job, and I forgot they were playing. I mean, it's not on the radar. It's too bad, but that's where it is.
Yeah. SEC Network, 6 o'clock, by the way.
There you go.
I'm sure it'll help your digestion tonight after dinner. Gabe Yarman, PowerMizzou.com. Tiger Sideline, catch it with him, Bo Bayman, and also Dave Matter every single week. Check the internet and the MediaCom listings for that one. PowerMizzou.com, you've got a great deal for folks that are signing on, don't you?
Yeah, today, if you start a new subscription, we're going to give you a new annual subscription. So you sign up for a year. It's $100. It's $8.33 a month. Skip McDonald's once, and you can pay for it once a month. But we're going to give you a $50 gift card to go to the Rivals Fan Shop. You can get a bunch of gear there. You can get Mizzou gear, Cardinals, Royals, whatever you want to get. So we're doing that today. Keep your eye out. We'll have something leading up to National Signing Day. Because we understand that not everybody necessarily follows recruiting 365 days a year. So if you want to jump on and give it a try, this is a really good time. It's very active. We're updating things every day, tracking coaches across the country. Hopefully you'll enjoy it. And then this 2018 class in the state of Missouri is insane. Mm-hmm. I mean, the talent, I've never seen anything like it. So if there is a year to get into following recruiting for Missouri, I think this is probably your year.
All right, there you go. PowerMizzou.com is where you need to go, and you can get yourself a $50 gift card. Gabe Yarman, PowerMizzou.com. Thank you for the time, man. I appreciate it. Try to enjoy some basketball tonight.
All right, gentlemen. Have a good one.
All right, we will do that.
Thanks,
Gabe Yarman,
man.
PowerMizzou.com. We'll be right back. Oh, by the way, follow him on Twitter, at Gabe DeYarman, and the rest of the guys over there at PowerMizzou. We'll be right back. More of the Closers. Our Cougar Coach's Corner is literally right around the corner.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
And welcome back to The Closers here alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George Young. It's time now for our Cougar Coach's Corner. And we welcome in the athletic director and head men's basketball coach, Mr. Bob Burchard, joining us here on the program now. And coach, at least in the basketball world, your life is pretty good. You roll the ball out, let the kids do what they do, and you pick up wins. I know it's not that simple, but it sure has seemed a little bit easy the last couple of weeks, hasn't it?
Well, not in my world, it doesn't, George. I think the team has done a great job of being prepared and being very consistent through this stretch of our season, and really have strung together some high-efficient games, doing things that really lead to winning basketball games. And I'm very, very happy with the level of play that we've been able to put together.
Bob, as you go through this American Midwest Conference, for listeners who might not be familiar with it, you know, how tough has this conference gotten? I mean, I'm an alum, and back in the day, Heart of America and American Midwest, you know, there were always good teams, but I know this American Midwest Conference has come so far and become quite the powerhouse.
Well, it has. I think for several reasons. Number one, the upper echelon teams have just improved, and we consistently are getting, three and four, teams that are national level, top 25 type teams. So you're looking at least, eight competitions that are national level, in terms of their talent that's put out on the floor. What I think the other thing that's occurred is the league has gotten big. The conference season is 22 games over two semesters, and both those things are really impactful. Number one, 22 games is a real marathon. I think whoever gets to the top of the league after that is well vetted, so to speak, in that they've done a good job for a long period of time. And then the second thing is the two-semester thing. It's a two-semester sport, and which then kind of involves roster changes and some people adding, some people deleting. And, so a lot of times it turns out to be when you play somebody, because teams look a lot different in November than they do in January and February.
And we're dealing with head coach from the men's basketball team over Columbia College, Bob Burchard, right now. Jackson Dubinsky, Jr. out of Rockbridge High School. He seems to be that guy that kind of holds things together, especially if you need points in tight situations. This team, I know, Bob, it revolves around upperclassmen, but when you start getting guys that have one more year to go or two more years to go being contributors, what does that say for your ability and the team's ability to not only find the talent, but integrate it every single game?
Well, I think, one of the things that I'm very proud of, and it's happened in the last couple of years, but, certainly – over our career at Columbia College is to watch guys develop over time and, have people that are willing to take a secondary role for a while, understanding that, they'll be next up in line. And then just to see at what level they can get to once that occurs. And I think that kind of describes a couple of guys that are playing at a really high level currently. You mentioned Jackson. He really played off the bench for 2 years. He played great, but wasn't the lead guard. Pep Stansel really held that position for 4 years. And so all of a sudden to see him, not only take over the responsibilities of that job, but also to be playing at such an efficient level is something that I'm very pleased about. But I think the same thing could be said for Nick Reynolds and how he has developed in kind of the same fashion. In particular, Malik Ray, who's a senior for us, has really put together, I think, the best of his 4 years right now. And so those are all things that you really hope for as a coach. You try to build into your program, and it's nice to see that it actually occurs.
Bob, you've got 9 guys, if my counting is correct here, over 15 minutes a game, or I'm sorry, over 10 minutes a game, and it's a big kind of swarm mentality. Everybody's playing, everybody's getting a chance to contribute. When you set out with a team at the beginning of the season, when you're in preseason, you're practicing, do you and the coaching staff kind of get a feel for how you're going to mold this team and how the minutes are going to distribute, or is that something that evolves over time like you have with this year's team?
Well, I think it definitely evolves, Jay. The one of the things that we continually preach is trying to get each one of our guys to their highest level. And we really talk about that, not only on the basketball court, but, in their athletic, get them to their highest athletic level and academically and socially as well. And so our goal is to use all our resources. And so that's why I think we have really liked to play a lot of people. We like to get guys who, kind of will accept, a role in terms of what their contributions are going to be. And I think that does just evolve. We spend a lot of time on the whiteboard figuring out combinations and eventually it sifts itself out to where we are now, where people understand, when they're going to enter the game, the reasons why we do that, and then that I believe frees them up to play at their maximum.
Bob Burchard, head basketball coach over at Columbia College, with us here on The Closers. All right, I want you to switch hats here as the athletic director now. Bob Burchard, basketball coach. Been doing a great job. I think you probably ought to keep him on for a little while longer. Athletic Director Burchard, generally, teams like playing at home. As an athletic director, when teams come into your building, especially the Arena of Southwell Complex, it seems like it's always a doubleheader sweep. As you look out across the expanse, why do you enjoy such a big home field advantage?
Well, obviously, all teams like to play in their own building. I think Southwell is a real special place. Our fan base is strong, but I think more than that, they're knowledgeable and very faithful, and so they really enjoy our team. They feel like they're a part of our team, and I think that's a piece of that puzzle. I think just the environment of Southwell being as close as it is to the floor kind of leads into that. If you're a fan coming to a game at Columbia College, there is no D section. I mean, you're right in A section. You can hear what's being said. You can actually feel like you're a part of the game, and I think that's part of it. The Norm Rubling and their brass is another big part of it. I think we have the best college band in basketball, and Norm's a big part of that. So I think collectively, having good teams also is an important part of it. But I think just it's a nice small college environment, and I think our guys always play with a lot of energy when they get in Southwell.
All right, and Bob, I know we've talked before about hiring and bringing in coaches and all the rest of that, but there's also the ancillary personnel that help make the engine run, not just the coaches and the assistant coaches, but all the rest of that staff over there. How do you get this to be such a big-time family atmosphere? It just doesn't seem like there is – you hear about or see a lot of discord that happens in larger organizations.
Well, our organization is getting larger all the time, mm-hmm. and I think that's the challenge, is to maintain that all-in feeling, and I really think that is what we are try to foster, is that we're all in this together, and that even though each of us is really totally focused on their own thing. We're very supportive of each other. I think Drew Grisella, Cindy Potter, and Brian Curtis, who are associate and assistant ADs, and Kim Kliegel, who is our business manager, do a great job of that. And, I do think that, maybe part of the small college atmosphere is that we all we're all in it. We're all in it together. And and interestingly enough, as we've diversified our sport offerings, I think we're all very excited about having different athletes in. Watching our track and field kids work out here is very educational to me. I think we're going to see the same thing when lacrosse hits. We've talked about baseball quite a bit. But, the fun thing is esports, having really a completely different type of activity within our group of people, and how supportive I know our students are of that endeavor as well. So, chemistry is really important to high-level success. It's almost impossible to coach. I could say the same thing about putting together a department of highly competitive people. Chemistry is really important. It's almost impossible to make happen. We're very fortunate that it does here.
Well, and folks, if you want to get out there and watch basketball at the friendly confines of Southwell, you'll have to wait till February 2nd. The Cougars will be back at home. They will take on Lindenwood University. Up until then, you got a couple of road games. Coach Bob Burchard, Athletic Director Bob Burchard, thank you much for the time, sir. I really do appreciate it, and good luck this basketball season.
Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. That's Head Coach Bob Burchard and Athletic Director Bob Burchard. We'll be right back as we get ready to wrap up our number one of the closers, and we will do that right after this.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.